Hey guys, welcome back to another edition of the TV Casualty Podcast. I'm Kat Angus, and here's Jeevan Brar.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too great, because now that we're into summer television, there is quite the dearth of good shows to watch.
Right.
So, to sort of at least keep myself busy, I tuned into Persons Unknown on Monday. Did you watch it, Jeevan?
Of course I watched it.
For those who don't know, it's written by Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote The Usual Suspects, one of the best movies ever made. And this show does not reflect that quality of writing so far.
I was just shocked when you told me that.
So far, it's not very good. It's a typical kind of story of bunch of people wake up in a weird place and they don't know where they are or how they got there and they can't escape and they have to figure out what's happening.
Kind of like Us at Work.
Pretty much. Yeah, except we're getting paid for it and these people are just horribly kidnapped. Now, kind of an interesting premise that has been done many times before, but had it been done well, I could have sort of liked it. Yeah. But as it is, the characters are all really thin and unlikable except for Alan Ruck, who I love everything he
Cameron.
Does. Cameron from Ferris Bueller. He's great.
Apart from him, it's filled with persons unknown.
Oh, that's the name of the show, Jeevan.
I know.
Oh, I love it. So let's see. We have the single mother who has been taken away from her child. And
but her baby daddy's missing.
Her husband is missing, and she assumes that he's run away. So maybe he has something to do with it. I don't know. Then there's the guy who is very secretive about his past.
He wasn't in the army. Let's make that clear.
Okay, he was not in the army. Yeah. But there is a guy who is in the army who, it's probably safe to assume, he saw some stuff in
as
the war.
As they all do.
Yeah, he saw some stuff. He's got a deal. Yeah. With his emotions. He is the token minority character of the show. So, there's that. There's the party girl, who...
She was funny.
She was okay. Yeah. I feel bad for the actress that she's going to have to wear those horrible heels for the entire run of the series.
That's fine.
There's the... what looks like to be a mental patient.
Yes.
There's Alan Ruck, who is a financial guy and is...
he's got a lot of money.
He's got a lot of money and he's pretty sure they're all there for financial reasons. Is there somebody else? Oh, then there's some guy with a gun. And then they take the gun away.
The crazy guy.
The crazy guy, yeah.
But not the mental patient.
Not the mental patient.
The mental patient is the smartest out of all of them because she figured out the tracking, or it's not a tracking device, but it's a...
it's a device that's implanted into all of their legs so they cannot leave this area.
Yeah.
They wake up in a hotel, but eventually they're allowed to leave the hotel and there is a deserted town. And if they try to leave the limits, they pass out.
Yeah, so it's like a tranquilizer. And it's kind of big, and it's on their leg. And I don't know, if someone put a tranquilizer in me like that, that size, I think I would have felt it before a crazy woman told me to strip.
Yes, well, maybe these people are a little more concerned with being kidnapped. I mean, if I woke up kidnapped and my leg hurt, I would just assume, well, they hit me when they were kidnapping me.
Okay.
But that's besides the point. But what we didn't see was while the crazy woman was looking for all these devices on other people, we never saw one on her.
Exactly.
So she might be the inside man who is tracking all of them. My biggest problem with the show is that while all of them being trapped in this town, while the characters are not very well written so far, that is the most interesting part of the show, and they keep cutting away from that to go to the real world where there is a reporter trying to track down these missing people. And honestly, I don't care. As a viewer, I already know where these people are. I mean, granted, I'm not sure where this town is, but I know what has happened to them. And watching somebody else have to catch up to where I already am, not interesting. Not interesting at all.
What do you think about the missing girl's mother? She's kind of creepy.
She is very unlikable. She's going to turn into Michael from Lost, just yelling, "Walt! Walt! Where is my son?" Except she'll say daughter.
But she's happy that...
well, she said she hoped that the people who took her also took her daughter, because then she would know her daughter was safe. But as we saw in the stupid real world thing, her daughter is actually with her mother.
Yeah.
Like, the woman's daughter is with the woman's mother. That's a little bit convoluted, but... so my theory is the
grandmother is the one I'm talking about. She's the creepy one.
Like,
she said that she was happy that the daughter was away so she could bond with the granddaughter.
Well, and so that is an interesting theory that all of these people have been taken away because they broke contact with family members who want to somehow get involved in their lives.
We'd be missing.
It's quite the stretch. I mean, like, oh no, my daughter won't talk to me and I can't see my granddaughter. I will have my daughter kidnapped and put her in this horrible, isolated town with no chance of escape.
Exactly.
Problem solved. Yeah, honestly, other than Alan Rock's character, and even as much as I love him, don't remember what his character's name is. I mean, he's going to be Alan Rock the entire time. Or Cameron. Yeah. So I don't really care about any of these people right now. We have another 12 episodes in this season, so maybe it might turn out to be like Harper's Island was, which was not a great show, but by the end, I was kind of into it.
I was into it, too.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I resisted it, I really got into Harper's Island, even though I predicted the killer from episode one.
You did.
But I'm willing to give Persons Unknown a shot because I think it'll be a fun summer TV show in the same vein as Harper's Island, where there's no chance of it being good, but there's chance of it being enjoyable.
It can't get worse.
It could get worse, but they're probably not going to put Eric Balfour on the show, so it'll be fine.
So can we talk about the dinner scene where they ate the Chinese food?
Oh, when so the Chinese food workers came into the town.
They came into the town in a white van,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're looking for an explanation, but they're like, here, we're just here to cook for you.
Yeah. And even once they accepted that, they didn't try to follow those guys out of the town.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, they probably knew by then they couldn't really leave because of the things in their legs.
But shouldn't they be a little more aggressive or maybe hold one of them hostage?
You'd think so. Yeah, these people are accepting their situations very easily.
We can't go anywhere. Neither are you.
Yeah.
Someone who's paying them to come here to cook is going to have to come and get them.
It's all very convoluted. I think there are a lot of plot points that we're just supposed to accept, which clearly we're not going to. But what do you think of the hotel worker who came in at the end, provided zero answers no matter what they asked?
I went to my apartment behind the hotel.
Yeah. It's like, oh, so how'd you get this job? Oh, I got a call that I had a new job and I woke up here. Isn't that weird? Oh, I'm used to it by now. So apparently this is a thing that happens to this guy and... Who knows? But the big twist at the end of the episode was they all received fortune cookies, and Janet, the single mother, hers said, kill your neighbor and you will go free. So next week, we'll see if she does it. Who wants to take bets that she won't?
Which one's her neighbor?
The guy who won't tell anything about his past, I assume.
Okay.
I don't know. They make this big deal. She's not going to kill him. We're supposed to cheer for this woman. We don't, but we're supposed to, so she's not going to kill anybody. It's kind of suspenseful, but mostly I'm just wondering, oh, so how are they going to get out of this? Which I assume she's going to get a crisis of conscience and then not kill him. So yeah, Persons Unknown, going to keep watching it because I want to know what happens. It's the Lost syndrome, except the show is nowhere near as good as Lost. But
yeah, for your own sanity.
For my own sanity, I'm going to watch terrible television. Follow that logic, folks. Yeah. But now on to an actually good show that had a great episode this week.
Yes.
Breaking Bad. It's the penultimate episode of the season, and holy crap, Walter White ran over two drug dealers with his car.
And then shot one. In the head.
And now Jesse is on the run because he's going to get the blame for the murder. Incredible.
Yeah, and it wasn't even the finale.
It wasn't even the finale. We have one more episode to go. Now, Walter White, he has killed people before. Oh, he killed Crazy Eight, killed Jane through an action,
He's killed a bunch of people, but not directly.
Not directly. Well, he killed Crazy Eight directly, but it was self-defense.
Right.
And this is really just the first time that he's just done it.
Yeah.
But still, I don't think Walter is going to admit that he is a murderer. He doesn't think... He said in this episode, Jesse was intent on killing these two drug dealers. And Walter White says, I'm not a murderer. You're not one either. And, well, Jesse might not be, but Walter is. Like, and he refuses to accept this. Like, after everything that happens...
He refuses to accept anything.
Exactly. That's his entire character. And even after everything that has happened in the past three seasons, he refuses to look at himself with an ounce of self-awareness.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. And that's what I love about this character, that he is completely oblivious to the things he's doing and the kind of effect he has and how much he has ruined everybody's lives.
My worry is that that continues to the point where we don't even recognize the character ourselves anymore. I know the writing's really good on the show, but it reminded me of Nip Tuck, whereas once the main character starts doing something bad, they just keep doing bad things and bad things that we just don't, Christian's gonna do that. Or
I can see your point, but I think the entire point of the show is to show the evolution of a monster. And I think the point of Walter White is that he does these increasingly bad things. And the fact that he has no self-awareness about it is what ties him back to the man he was at the start of the show.
Okay.
So because he still thinks he is this good guy who's just in bad circumstances, I don't feel that the show is getting too far away from who he was.
Do you still think he's a good guy?
No, he's a monster that is in complete denial about it. But he's still a person. He's just a terrible person who refuses to look at himself. And that's what makes Breaking Bad great. That's what makes Bryan Cranston great. Makes Aaron Paul great, that this show is all about refusing to accept what's right in front of you.
Right.
And I cannot wait to see what happens in the finale. What do you think is going to happen?
So obviously Jesse's on the run. They can't turn around to make it look like an accident now, can they?
No. Don't accidentally get run over by a car and then accidentally get shot in the head.
We know Gus is going to be, trying to figure out what's going on. How does Walt before he was able to find leverage with Gus, but
well, and now, getting the car fixed will be a bit of a problem for Walt, especially because that car is supposed to be used for Walter Jr.'s driving test.
Right.
So, I think there will be some interesting, just little details that Walt has to deal with, which most shows would probably just gloss over, but what I love about the show is that it takes all the details and say, no, this is what you would have to deal with in this kind of situation. And poor Walter Jr.,
he has no idea
no idea what's happening. He's probably not going to pass that driver's test. Poor kid. That's what matters, whether Walter Jr. gets his license.
Hopefully he'll get it and drive far, far, far away from his family.
Now, the Television Critics Association Award nominations came out last week. I voted on the nominations. What was interesting, Breaking Bad, up for dramas, Program of the Year, completely justified. Mad Men, while it's up for drama, completely shut out of Program of the Year this year.
Really?
Yeah. It was nominated last year. It won the year before. Not even a chance this year. Now, it's arguably still one of the best shows on TV. I think it's between Breaking Bad and Mad Men. But do you think that the reason it was shut out was because the last season aired so long ago and we're still right in the middle of Breaking Bad's incredible season?
Well, it doesn't Mad Men. It always airs in the summer.
In the summer, yeah. I don't know what happened, but
I'm still a season behind on Mad Men, unfortunately, so I can't really judge the third season. But do you think it lived up to the second season?
Oh, definitely. It was better than the second season and changed everything. And it's just, I'm glad to see that Breaking Bad is getting the recognition it deserves. And I have a feeling that if Mad Men were nominated, Breaking Bad wouldn't stand a chance. Okay. Unfortunately, it would come in second, but it would not come in first because people love Mad Men. But that's why I'm so surprised that Mad Men was shut out of Program of the Year entirely. I guess we'll find out July 31st whether Breaking Bad takes home every show it's nominated, or
every
category it's nominated in. So good luck, Breaking Bad. Yeah. Really excited for this Sunday's episode.
Yes.
So now on to some better than Persons Unknown, but worse than Breaking Bad summer television, Pretty Little Liars, which debuted last night. On Much Music. It is Desperate Housewives for teenagers.
Yes, but there are Desperate Housewives on the show.
There are many Desperate Housewives. Holly Marie Combs from Charmed.
I can't believe she's playing a mother. Can we get this out of the way first?
Well, isn't she in her 40s?
No, really?
I'm pretty sure she is.
Wasn't she just a kid in Picket Fences?
Wow. Were you even alive when Picket Fences was on?
No. My parents recognized her from when I was watching Charmed. They're like, hey, that's the kid from Picket Fences. And I'm like, what? So I looked it up. I remember that day.
Well, now she's playing a mom to a 16 or 17-year-old daughter. and she and her friends all have horrible secrets, and...
Horrible. Operative.
Yes. Like, a year ago, a friend of theirs goes missing. Now, her body has been found, but supposedly is still sending them text messages from beyond the grave.
But they all knew that she was dead. They all knew that she was dead, but people just said she was missing.
Did they all know she was dead?
Yes, they said, but we know that she's dead.
But that one, Emily, when they, at the end of the episode, they say, we found your friend, and she said, oh, she's back, assuming that she was alive. I don't think they all knew that she was dead.
So, if two of them knew that
she was dead. Who knew she was dead?
Arya?
Yeah. When did she say that?
When they were walking at the school. We know that she's dead.
Well, that was that was conjecture, though. Okay. That wasn't them knowing anything. Okay. It was just sort of accepting that she'd been missing for a year and was probably dead.
Okay.
But let's see. Arya makes out with her English teacher. And we're supposed to think he's this nice guy. Nice guys don't make out with 17-year-olds, even if you didn't know she was 17 when you made out with her. Emily is a lesbian. Fine. Good
but
for her.
But she has a boyfriend, she said.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
Surprise for him.
Yeah. One of them is in love with her sister's boyfriend.
Again.
Again. And then the other one shoplifts.
Yes.
Like, that's her big, big secret.
It gives her a thrill.
Oh, yeah. Teenagers never shoplift. But that never happens.
Her mother is Sydney from Melrose.
Yes. Died?
Twice.
That is pretty bad when you die twice on Melrose Place. She is playing the mother to the shoplifter, and when the shoplifter gets caught by the cops, Laura Layton sleeps with the cop so her daughter won't get in trouble.
And the cop used to be unpopular.
Everybody who's been unpopular is doing fairly well among the teen soap opera type shows.
Just good for them.
Good for them. But all these supposedly terrible secrets that aren't that bad. Okay, granted, making out with your teacher, pretty bad. That should be a secret. Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be a secret. That guy should go to jail. But I'm saying I can understand why she is keeping it to herself.
Yes.
But like, oh, you have a crush on your sister's boyfriend for the second time. Oh, it happens.
It
not to me.
Does it?
But okay. I'm sure it does. Okay. Emily is possibly gay. Okay, I can understand her maybe wanting to keep that to herself because she doesn't know how people...
I mean, she is 16.
Yes. 16-year-olds aren't the most understanding bunch in the world. I can understand that. But, I mean, shoplifting is not, like, for a show that is trying to be super scandalous, shoplifting is the worst they can do. Yeah. I mean, at least do drug dealing or something like that.
Well,
like
Gossip Girl tried that and failed horribly.
Yeah, well, I mean, shoplifting... I read enough young adult novels about girls who shoplift to know it's not the end of the world if you get caught shoplifting. You can still make something of yourself.
It's not.
If they're really going for this scandalous tone of their show, these girls need to step it up. And
let us in on some of the secrets.
Yeah, because there's this Jenna thing that they don't elaborate on, but apparently they did something to a poor girl named Jenna, and now she's blind.
Sorry, that was evil.
Well,
we want to know why.
Oh yeah, we want to know why. Their friend died, maybe, yes, but they don't know who it is, who knows all these secrets. And impressively, the person who is texting them about all their secrets is just following them around to text them at the exact right moment.
Like, Jenna, is she really blind?
Oh, dun dun dun.
She's the first suspect.
Yeah.
I mean, naturally. Now, Allison's body, can we confirm that it was her?
Well, we didn't see it, and it has been a year, so it's entirely possible that it was just a mix-up of some kind, and the cops in that town are super bad at their jobs.
Well, they're kind of busy.
They're kind of busy making out with Laura Layton,
yeah.
So I can't really knock them for that.
Yeah.
So, maybe this Allison girl is still alive and still messing with them.
Because it only started when... Arya came back to town.
Arya.
When Arya came back to
Jeez,
town.
Jeez, Jeevan.
I mean,
how dare you mispronounce such a stupid name.
Seriously.
Sorry to any listeners named Arya out there, but come on. It's kind of fun, cheesy television. I think the secrets need to be a little more salacious than they have been.
But I like it.
I do like it.
It's fun to watch.
It'll be interesting. And it's nice to see Lucy Hale has come so far from her American Juniors appearance back in 2003. Who knew that... competing on an American Idol ripoff for tweens could lead to such show business success. Yeah,
So, Persons Unknown, bad.
Persons Unknown, bad. Breaking Bad, awesome. And Pretty Little Liars, okay. Nice, yeah. Yeah. Enjoyable.
Yes.
All right. Well, that does it for this week's edition of the TV Casualty Podcast. Check out my blog at dose.ca/TV Casualty and check out Jeevan's blog at dose.ca/watercooler. See you next week.